2007, and I'm in the back of the Singer Sewing Center with Mike Gray. Mike, who is a member of the Whitby Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame. He's also a member of the Canadian Lacrosse Hall of Fame as a player on the 1963 Oshawa Green Gales, and also as a manager of the Brooklyn Redmen for the 7-year run they had from 1985 to 1991, when they won in the East for 7 years. Okay, we're going to start it off. Mike, how old were you, and in what year did you see your first game of lacrosse played?
I was 6 years old in 1948, and I watched the old Senior B team in Oshawa play at the Hamley Arena.
And who did they play against? Do you remember?
Offhand, I can't. They played in a league with Peterborough, and I can't remember some of the other teams at the time, but I went down there. I was just a little kid, because I lived up on, I lived at that time up on Westmoreland Street in North Oshawa for a year there, and I was going to school at North Simcoe Public School, and a couple of my uncles were playing lacrosse for the Oshawa Senior B team, so I went to the games.
Now, that would be the Vipons.
Right, the Vipons.
Which couple?
I think Luther and Bill and Tim were playing at the time.
Yeah. Okay. At what age did you first start to play lacrosse? And what year was that? And who did you play for? And can you remember any of your teammates of that first team?
I started playing minor lacrosse in Brooklyn in 1951. I would have been 9 years old, and it was just a house league of local guys ranging in age anywhere from 15 down to 9 years or 8 or 9 years old. And we would play against some of the Oshawa CRA teams, and we would pick an all-star Pee-wee team to go to from our league, the Pee-wee age guys, to go to play in the Ontario Minor Lacrosse Championships. At the time, I think the first that year we might have went to Burlington to play. Most of the people that I played with in the first few years were just my schoolmates and local Brooklyn kids. By 1952, we had expanded that up into a real Pee-wee house league by bringing in a lot of rural kids, and we had four teams in Brooklyn. We played twice a week, Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, and I would have been like 10 years old at the time. And that league continued on for a couple of years to we went to Bantam. And then in Bantam, by the time we got to Bantam, we had formed a Lakeshore Minor Lacrosse League, which included teams from Peterborough, Long Branch, Alderwood, and Brampton in Brooklyn. And we played a Bantam League, which ran for 2 years. And I played in that when I was like 13 or 14. And most of the players from that league I ended up eventually playing against in junior. Now, some of the players that from my own, like our house league, when we started up the Pee Wee House League, I think the second year of that house league, players like Elmer Tran and had come in from the country, and his brother George, and from all our area, like Ashburn, the kids came down to play in that league, and from Ragland, Columbus, Charlie Ross, and brother Murray Ross and Gary Hayes, so we had actually quite a good league. At that time, we would have been probably one of the best Pee Wee teams in the Pee Wee era from 52 to 54, probably in the province of Ontario. And then the Bantam League that we played in, we used to play in Peterborough. They'd have a real good team, and we would play up there before the old Peterborough Senior A lacrosse games in the Miller Bowl. It was quite historical at that time to play against Peterborough.
So you and Elmer go back from the age of 10?
We played hockey and lacrosse together back from the age of 10. Hmm.
you related to the most prestigious lacrosse playing family in Brooklyn, the Vipons. Six of the boys made it as far as Senior B lacrosse. What can you remember about Lewis, Luther, Bill, Tim, Doug, and Don playing lacrosse?
Well, I can remember as a kid, like I said, going to see Luther and Bill and Tim play lacrosse. And in later years, I played on the same team with my uncles Doug and Don, and Bill Vipon.
What's that? His mom was a Vipon. You don't want...
57 in 1958, in the old league, which was called the Senior B Intermediate League. I come right out of Bantam Lacrosse right to the team. And what was a big thing was in 1958, we actually won the Ontario Intermediate B Championship. And it was a big thing to play with your relatives. I could remember, the thrill of, playing with your uncles. My uncles were like 5 and 7 years older than me, but being on the same team with them was quite a thrill as a kid, 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid.
This question here is pretty well sort of tie in with what we were just talking about. Most of your young days of watching lacrosse would have been the old Brooklyn Senior B and Intermediate teams playing in Brooklyn. Tell us a bit of the structure of Senior B, Senior A, and Intermediate back then.
In those days, in the 50s, lacrosse was played in a lot of small communities, and they didn't have a way of classifying the teams other than the way that they would where they stood in the league. So what we would all play in the same league, and at that time in 57 when I played, we played in a league with Whitby, which was our greatest rival. We played with Whitby. We play in our same league with Zoan Sound, Fergus, Bradford, Alliston. Then what would happen, the teams on how you placed at the end of the year is what the categories you went into. So the top four teams would be Senior B, and then the next two teams would be Intermediate A, and then the next two teams would be Intermediate B, and the next two teams might be Intermediate C. So this gave everybody a chance to play for some type of a championship. And no matter how big or small your community was, you'd get to play in the league. And in those days, when we would play Whitby in a home game in Brooklyn, the arena was always sold out, especially on Fair Night in Brooklyn, which was the biggest night of the year for lacrosse in Brooklyn. The first Saturday in June, the rink would be packed right to the rafters. And when Brooklyn would come down and play in Whitby, it would be a bitter war, and they would pack their arena. And that thing ended in 1957, because in 1958, Whitby had a junior team, went Junior A, joined the OLA as a Junior A team. They disbanded their intermediate team, and most of those intermediate players at that time went to play for the old Scarborough Maitlands, who had been a member of our league. So by 58, the bitter rivalry would have been with Scarborough Maitlands. And the system was, because there was enough way of categorizing teams as B and A, and there was all the teams went into one league and then divided it up on how you finished and where you went into playoffs. The only league that was it was the OLA Senior A Major, which is like Senior A League, and the OLA Junior A League were the only leagues that were very structured to the point where similar is what they are today.
Did you play in many games for the old Brooklyn Senior B's, Intermediate A's back in the 50s? How old were you back then, and what can you remember about those years and some of the players?
Well, it's a long time ago now. We're talking 50 years ago. When I sit down and look at the old pictures, I can remember all the players, but I started playing when I was 14, 15, and 1957. The reason that I was playing is that because there was a team in Whitby and a team in Brooklyn, there wasn't a lot of players around, so they had to use everybody in town that you could possibly get that knew how to play to fill out the team. And And then in 58, when the Whippy team folded, they figured a lot of them would come back to Brooklyn, players like Donnie Criggs and Bob and Jim Cherry and other players. They all went to play for, or Red Crawford. They went to play for, they went and formed a new team at in Scarborough. And, you know, I can remember, but most of these, the lacrosse players at that period of time, were either from my school days, buddies from my school days that I went to school with, like Kenny Ross and Bill Biggs and you know, players from the local players that went on to play. Bill Biggs went down to play for Whitby in 19, because he played along with me in the 58 team, and then they played in 59 in Brooklyn. We played it. Kenny Ross played in. I can't think of where he played in 59. 59. I played some games of Senior B with the team, and it was the same thing that they ended up in first place in the league, or second place, and they played off and ended up Senior B against Cornwall. And it was Cornwall. It was either 1959 or 60. I think it was 59. I mean, those things are like 50 years ago. But it's funny that the most of the basic core players are people that I either grew up with or started playing the 57. A lot of those players continued playing until they formed the Senior A team in Brooklyn in 1961. And what did that team was formed at that time because the OLA were in dire straits. Chuck Rowan was running the OLA and Gene Dopp. They had no teams. The Senior A League had folded down to three teams, and to have a fourth team, Brooklyn came into the league because Peterborough had folded because of the money problems that they'd run into, because they'd been paying players. They ran into financial problems. They folded in that time, and you were down to Port Credit, Port Credit, I think. St. Catharines and Brampton were left after the 1960 season in Senior.
Did Oshawa not have an intermediate or senior team in the 50s?
No, not in the 50s that I can remember. After what it seemed to be that in the late 40s and early 50s, they seemed to all the Oshawa people came to Brooklyn to play. Guys like Robbie Robinson and. The Craigses, Rusty and Donnie Criggs, they came up to Brooklyn to play around 1952, and Jerry Ravery, and there was a fellow that was a Larry Hutchison, Jerry Burroughs, there was quite a few of them from Oshawa. They came out to Brooklyn to play in the early 50s, and then some of those players went to Whitby. When they split the two teams up and they formed two teams, a Whitby team and a Brooklyn team, about 56, they split the two teams into two teams, which and most of the a lot of the Oshawa players went with to Whitby, and the local Brooklyn players stayed in Brooklyn.
Okay, I've covered this too, Mike. You and Elmer, who you played with since you were 10, played together for a long time. Why is it in 1960 Elmer was playing for the Minnow Cup with Whitby, Red Wing Orchards, and you weren't? What did you do during the 1960 season?
Actually, 1959 and 1960, well, in 59, we played for my uncle's juvenile team. My uncle started a juvenile lacrosse team in Whitby, and Elmer and I played in that team in 1959. And that was, we got beat out by Huntsville in the Ontario Juvenile Championships. Whitby, the name of the team was Jerry's Menswear, and there was about four or five Brooklyn guys played on that team. And the next year, with Whitby's Junior A team, Bev Groves, who was playing, he played for the Brooklyn Intermediates. He was the new coach of the Whitby Junior A team, and. We had just come off winning the OHA Junior C Hockey Championship. Elmer and I played on the team. And at the training camp, I was at the training camp, And we just, they were going to have, before the season started, there was going to be an exhibition game played in Brooklyn, the Whitby Juniors, Red Wings Juniors, against the Brooklyn Intermediates. And at that time, because I was from Brooklyn, they decided that I would play for Brooklyn, and Bev Groves, who was the Brooklyn, played for Brooklyn, he had been an old Peterborough Timberman, a Peterborough Senior A player, he would then, because he was coached the Whip Juniors, he would play for the Juniors. So during that game, he slashed me and broke my hand. So that finished my that year off. I wasn't able to start playing again until late August, and I went back out with the juveniles instead of going back, because I missed that summer with a broken hand.
Okay, now we're coming up to senior, and we're getting to the point now we're going to have it's Brooklyn's first year in senior A competition. In 1961, you were up with the. In 1961, you were up with the Whippy Red Wing Orchards. How did you end up playing Junior A for Etobicoke in 1962?
After the 1961 season, the Whippy team folded. The players from that were members of the 61 team, which actually ended up winning the Junior B Championship, Ontario Junior B Championship, they were dispersed in a draft. Etobicoke drafted me, so that's where I had to go.
Okay. In 1963, you played for the expansion Oshawa Greengales, which ended up the season in third spot, but ended up going all the way to win the Minnow Cup. Where were the Minnow Cup finals played, and what can you tell me about that team, the first of seven straight Minnow Cup championship teams?
Well, the Minnow Cup was played at Whitby, because we played, the Greengales played their home games at the Oshawa Children's Arena, and it was too small, so they played the Minnow Cup in Whitby against Victoria. I never even actually got an invite out with that team, but my brother did, and when I went down, and I went down with him, drove him down to practice, and ended up, they asked me if I'd try it with the team, why do I want to come out to practice with them, so I did, ended up making that team, and Bishop was having a lot of problems with his players. Bishop had been in junior A lacrosse before, but had never been able to ever win. His teams were always chokes, and they always seemed to lose in the championships when he was in Newmarket or Mimico or wherever he operated his team, Oakville. They always seemed to lose. When he started ranting and raving with his players, they all started quitting on him. And I was able to get Elmer to come out and play for him, because we just didn't have enough players, and we seemed to pick up momentum as the year went on, and ended up in third place. And we had, when we played off against Brampton, because Tom Conlon and Dave Lockett both played for Brampton, they seemed to get the intensity up with the rest of us, and we just pulled a couple of upsets. Bishop himself, he had a breakdown and left the team partially through the season, and Fred Wally actually did a lot of the managing and coaching of that team. By the time we got into the playoffs, Bishop was back with the team behind the bench. He was a little different than the Jim Bishop than people knew after 1963. He became a different type of a coach because he more or less let us do our own thing in 63, and it taught him, we were able to show him how you win. That's one of the things he learned, how to win from players that had played on winning teams, and he thought to choke up, because sometimes he got a bit too fanatical, and I think that's made his players and big games become very uneasy and make a lot of mistakes because they were trying just too hard.
Okay. Mike, in 1964, you move up to Senior A with the Brooklyn Redmen. What was it like playing alongside some of those veterans like Pat Baker, Donnie Craigs, Red Crawford, Bob Hanna, Glenn Lawton, Ken Rutten, and your old friend Elmer was on that team? You lost out to Vancouver Carlings in the Man Cup Final. Where was that Man Cup played, and what can you remember about it?
Well, that Man Cup was played back in Whitby again. That was in Whitby again, because we played all our regular home season games in Brooklyn because the rink was too small, and the CLA at that time run the Man Cups. The CLA had had a very successful money-making middle cup in Whitby, so that's they hosted the Man Cup in Whitby. The players that I played with on that team, a lot of them I knew quite well from playing mostly against or with in intermediate or junior. I played with Glennie Lawton in Whitby. I played against Kenny Rattan. I knew Pat Baker. I had played against Donnie Craigs when he played in Whitby, when he played up in Scarborough. And I knew him from in Brooklyn before when I played up with games with the team when he first in 61. And I played against Bob Hanna. I played against Red Crawford. So most of these guys, and I knew Kenny Lawton, that was Glenn's brother. So most of them, it wasn't, you know, Grant Hefferman. Most of these players I either played against or knew from playing with them. So I felt right at home when I stepped into that team.
In 1965, for the second year in a row, Brooklyn Redmond finished first during the regular season, but again they were defeated the second year in a row in 7 games, this time to the New Westminster O'Keefes. This time the series would be played out in the West Coast. What do you remember about that series and any shenanigans that happened while you were out there?
Well, it was actually a big deal for this was the first time '64 was the first time Brooklyn had ever got into a Man Cup, and '65 was the first time they'd ever gone west to a national championship, which made it quite a big deal. Most of the players were quite psyched up. Now at that time, the Man Cup was a CLA run, was run by the CLA. The East was considered the weaker league than the West, and because the CLA run it, they insisted that the East would use pickup players, which they did in the early '60s. So you were actually more of a bit of an all-star team that went to represent the East. And the big thing that happened out there, probably the most exciting, we weren't used to the big crowds. Those big crowds, they were drawn anywhere from 2,500 to 4,000 people at Queen's Park Arena to the games at the time. And the big thing happened was, the big rhubarb happened was, Donnie Craigs got suspended for a year for hitting, punching a referee. And what had happened, Donnie had a bad case of hemorrhoids. He wasn't in the best frame of temper. And during the game, he got into a fight with the referee. It was Whitey Stevenson, and he decked him. So that meant he was out for a year. That was a big, big, big rhubarb.
He's still the same, isn't he? 1966 saw the Redmen lose in the playoffs 4-3 to Brampton. That must have been disappointing, not making it to the Man Cup. You had quite a bit of firepower with Terry Davis, 42 goals, Grant Heffernan, 29, Elmer Tran, 28, Ken Lawton, 29. I noticed Donnie Craigs was not on that club. Could that have been a lot of the reason your team never made it to the Man Cup that year?
It could have been a lot of the reason, but like I said before, Donnie Craigs was under a year suspension and couldn't play. We did have a good team, but the league at that time was very, very close. Donnie probably would have just put us the one more player that we probably would have needed to have got through in '66. And we got surprised in the first round of the playoffs and got beat out. So it was a hard fought year. I think that year the difference in the points between the four teams. Peterborough ended up in first place in '66, and we ended up in fourth place. But we probably had as good a chance in the first round against Brampton as anybody, but we went down in 7 games, which was probably meant to happen, because in 65 and 64, both those years we beat Brampton out in 7 games to go to the Man Cup. So it was their chance to and most of those players that we'd beat out with the Green Gales. Elmer beat out with the Green Gales in 63. It was a lot of players. We were getting a bit of a thing where every year they got to the finals and got beat out by by us, so it turned on us. So it had been a close year. It was a letdown not winning, but the league at that time was very, very close at the senior level. And probably a guy like Donnie Craig's, you know, his one or two goals every game, you could count on, probably would have put us over the top.
Okay, in 1967, Donnie Craig was back and contributed 33 regular season goals, and the Redmen made it back to the Man Cup, only to lose to Vancouver Carlings again. In my years of following Redmen, I always felt as a fan that Donnie Craig's and Johnny Fusco were the two greatest leaders in the club's history. Both were captains and both wore number 15. As a player, coach, manager from the inside of the club, would you agree with that statement? How would you compare the two players?
Well, I mean, they were both true heart and soulers, and they were both very rugged individuals, and they definitely were true blue captains of the team, which would do anything for their team. Talent. Johnny Fusco probably was the more natural lacrosse player than Craig. Most of his was just done on sheer guts and desire. And John Fusco had probably had the hardest shot of anybody that was playing at the time, and he was probably a little more skilled individual. But they were both great team leaders and great team people. It's hard really to pick which one would have been greater. But Donnie Craig was one of the people. He was on your team, and he was your captain. He led the team by actually his actions. He was a great leader by actions, and he was one of these individuals that would. If he thought a fight was going to be needed to get the team riled up, he'd be the guy that would start it. And he would do. And if you needed one goal with a few seconds to go in the game, he was the guy that would score it. He was one of these players that would come up with a lot of key goals, and it was just because of his desire that got him these goals. Because he wasn't his great shot or anything. It was his desire. And his best move was his inside move on the crease, where he would jump over and shoot over the other side of the goaltender. And, I mean, he had that down pat and scored most of his big goals that way.
Mike, finally in 1968, the Brooklyn Redmen won the Man Cup. Donnie Craig scored 35 goals, but there was a large turnover of players from the previous year due to the expansion of the Professional League. How did it feel to finally taste the champagne of the Man Cup after 4 visits in 5 years?
It was a sweet thing to win the Man Cup, but in the year 67 and 68 were the years of the two biggest changes in lacrosse. In 1967 was the last year that lacrosse was played without the 32nd rule. And that was caused because of what happened at the Man Cup in Vancouver, when Fred Wally, who was the coach then of the Brooklyn lacrosse team, implemented the old basketball zone defense. And when the games were played in 67 in Vancouver, the teams, you didn't have to take your shot in 30 seconds, so in the whole second period, the Western team held on to the ball and never took any shots on net, and the crowd stood and booed for the 20 minutes of the period. And then again in the third period it went the same way. The score was very low in that game. I think it was possibly like a 6-4 type of a score, which most of those goals were scored in the first period. That changed the game, and at 68 there was also, they formed a pro lacrosse league in 68, which kind of took most of the best players from the senior A league in Ontario, and they formed a pro league, which was a 4-team pro league. So when we were able to win the Man Cup only because we had a better team than the other teams that we were playing, which were probably a little weaker than the teams from the 64 to 67 teams. The whole league was weaker, and so it was a great feeling. But by 1969, that whole league had more or less folded, and basically all the better players from that league were all back into our league by 69. So it was a greater feeling in 69 to win the Man Cup.
Yeah, this is